curious is to be inquisitive. It is to ask questions and to pursue answers to those questions. People who are curious are explorers who wander and wonder, poking around to figure things out. Curiosity drives people to all sorts of discoveries, to novel approaches, to unique decision-making. This being curious is often associated with an interest in ideas and with intellectual pursuits. But there's another aspect of curiosity that I want to explore this morning. It is the way that curiosity, that same inquisitiveness, can impact our relationships. Curiosity can make our relationships stronger, deeper, and more meaningful. It can improve our romantic relationships with spouses and partners. It can enhance communication with family members, friends, and coworkers. And it can benefit our overall engagement with people we don't know well or who we don't know at all. It can even deepen our connection with the family dog, cat, bird, or hamster, as well as with animals in the wild. Eve Hogan, who is an author, speaker, and educator in the personal growth field, shares a story about being curious. And it's a story that I relate to because I can imagine finding myself in this scenario. Hogan says that when she was younger and fairly new to the field, she went to a self-esteem conference, and she was seated next to a much older man. And before the presentation began, he turned to her and he asked her for her thoughts about self-esteem. He wanted to know what she thought it was and what she knew about it. Now, Hogan assumed that he was asking because he didn't know a whole lot himself and because he was hoping to learn from her. He listened attentively to her as she shared her thoughts. And then, when they introduced the next speaker, that very man who had turned to her and asked her what her thoughts were about self-esteem got up, walked up to the podium, and began his presentation. He was, it turned out, the expert. I would have been slouching deeply into my chair at this point, had it been me. Hogan said that she learned something so valuable in that experience, at least she says after she got over the initial embarrassment. She says this, she said, "Other than my embarrassment over not recognizing his authority on the subject, his humble inquiry and curiosity taught me such a powerful lesson. He could have easily taken advantage of the moment as an expert on the topic to spew everything he knew, but instead he asked me several questions and listened intently. I realized that being humble and curious is how one learns. It is also how we engage another in a heart-to-heart conversation." Hogan points to one of the profound insights about curiosity. Being humble and curious is how we engage another in a heart-to-heart conversation. Curiosity is about the heart as well as the head. We can recognize the truth of this from our own personal experience, can't we? If we think about it, science also bears it out. Todd Kashtan of George Mason University researched the ways that curiosity impacts relationships. And he concludes that being interested is more important in cultivating a relationship and maintaining a relationship than being interesting. He goes on to say, that's what gets the dialogue going. It's the secret juice of relationships. Rather than being busy trying to demonstrate how interesting we are, we do well to spend more time showing how interested we are. Being interested in others lets them know they are valued. When another person is curious about who we are and how we think and behave, we can feel seen and heard in a new way. Rather than being judged or ignored, we find ourselves affirmed. We also experience a sense of connection. That sense of connection actually works both ways. It benefits the person who is being curious and the person who is subject of the curiosity. Not only does the person who is the subject of curiosity feel more connected to the person who is curious and expressing interest in them, the person who is curious feels more connected to the person they are expressing interest in. As Kashtin says, when you show curiosity and you ask questions and you find out something interesting about another person, people disclose more, share more, and they return the favor, asking questions of you. It sets up a spiral of give and take, which fosters intimacy. Now, sometimes we're reluctant to express interest in another person, right? Been there? There are all sorts of reasons that happens. We might be reluctant because we think that that other person is extraordinary. Maybe we think they're super attractive, super intelligent, super accomplished, or just really, really cool, and they won't be interested in us. We might be afraid of being rejected. As we know, social rejection can be devastating. In fact, many of us carry the wounds of rejection from our early years, long into our adulthood. But it turns out that curiosity can minimize those very experiences of rejection. In a study conducted in Japan, researchers surveyed 20 to 39-year-olds, and they found that curious participants were able to recover more quickly from social rejection. And they have less aggressive responses toward those who hurt their feelings than those who are less curious. These findings point to another way that curiosity helps to build relationships. According to Kashtin, curiosity offers us greater perspective. This makes such good sense, doesn't it? Sometimes I wonder if we really need studies to tell us these things, why we need to do that. We really already know in so many ways. I suppose we like to have it scientifically borne out for us. But those who are more curious aren't as afraid to engage with those who are different from them, and they strive to understand different points of view. Rather than focusing on being judgmental or on feeling intimidated, they're more likely to try to learn from situations and from people. Unitarian Universalists are committed to this. We're committed to appreciating different points of view and different people. We acknowledge and appreciate and strive to support the many types of families, for example. We try to bring a sense of curiosity and understanding of pluralism to our many relationships. This is certainly this kind of growing our broadening of our perspectives. This is certainly a growing edge in our country. It's a growing edge in our faith, and I think it's always a growing edge for us individually. There is so much to learn about this kind of relational work, and bringing humility and genuine curiosity to our interactions with others, especially those who are different from us, is especially helpful. In the podcast, Is Curiosity the Secret to an Extraordinary Life? Gotta love that title. Producer Lindsay Fox describes how he came to observe the way a heightened and intense level of curiosity leads to a greater interest in other people. Fox was filming an interview with Israeli economist and professor Don Ehrlich. Ehrlich is an extremely busy person with a very demanding schedule. He came to the interview from other interviews and was on his way immediately after that interview to go on tour. So he was in a hurry. But as he was leaving, Ehrlich noticed that one of the cameramen had a lot of tattoos. And Ehrlich was so curious. He really couldn't help himself. He was so curious. And he said to the cameraman, he said, "So tell me about this." He didn't want to know about the tattoos. He wanted to know the story of the tattoos. He wanted to know why the tattoo was there, each of the tattoos. This cameraman had tattoos running from his hand all the way across his body. Ehrlich was utterly fascinated and genuinely curious. And genuine curiosity is the key here, the way a child expresses curiosity. Ehrlich wanted to know, what's the story being told that would lead someone to want to tell this story with all this ink on their bodies? And so Ehrlich had an incredible conversation with the cameraman before leaving. He had a heart-to-heart conversation. Genuine, authentic curiosity leads us to want to know someone else's story. Leading questions, questions that are really not questions at all, but statements disguised as questions. You know that kind? Why are you so stubborn? And prying questions are not about curiosity. They are about judgment. They are about shaming. They are about othering. They are not about openness. Some questions put people on the spot. Those are not questions of authentic curiosity. When we meet people here at church, we sometimes ask, "Are you new here? Where do you live? What do you do for a living?" These may seem like harmless questions to us, but they can be alienating. They can be anything but harmless, and they can be anything but curious. A question like, "What brought you here this morning?" creates opportunities for a person to share in the way they want to share, not in the way we want them to share. Genuine curiosity is open-ended, and it leads to saying things like, "So tell me about this. So tell me your story. Tell me about you. What's the story being told in your life?" That kind of curiosity motivates us to want to know another person's experience or another being's experience, to share who we are, to share what brings joy or despair, to share why we do what we do. Such curiosity is a matter of the heart. It is both humble and compassionate, and it allows other people to share as they want to share. In his piece, "Call Me by My True Names," Vietnamese Buddhist monk and peace activist Thich Nhat Hanh captures how curiosity leads to a deep soul connection. Thich Nhat Hanh writes these words. Do not say that I'll depart tomorrow, because even today I still arrive. Look deeply. I arrive in every second, to be a bud on a spring branch, to be a tiny bird with wings still fragile, learning to sing in my new nest, to be a caterpillar in the heart of a flower, to be a jewel hiding itself in a stone. I still arrive in order to laugh and to cry, in order to fear and to hope. The rhythm of my heart is the birth and death of all that are alive. I am the mayfly metamorphizing on the surface of the river, and I am the bird which, when spring comes, arrives in time to eat the mayfly. I am the frog swimming happily in the clear pond, and I am also the grass snake who, approaching in silence, feeds itself on the frog. I am the child in Uganda, all skin and bones, my legs as thin as bamboo sticks. And I am the arms merchant selling deadly weapons to Uganda. I am the 12-year-old girl, refugee on a small boat, who throws herself into the ocean after being raped by a sea pirate. And I am the pirate, my heart not yet capable of seeing and loving. I am a member of the Politburo with plenty of power in my hands, and I am the man who has to pay his debt of blood to my people dying slowly in a forced labor camp. My joy is like spring, so warm it makes flowers bloom in all walks of life. My pain is like a river of tears, so full it fills the four oceans. Please call me by my true names so I can hear all my cries and laughs at once, so I can see that my joy and pain are one. Please call me by my true names so I can wake up, and so the door of my heart can be left open, the door of compassion. Curiosity wakes us up. Curiosity opens the doors of the heart. It fosters connection, compassion, and positivity. It engages the heart. It blesses the curious. And it blesses those who we are curious about. It blesses our relationships. Curiosity helps us find more love. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.